The 16th annual Bard Summerscape opened this past weekend and runs through August 18th. The festival features 7 weeks of world-class opera, theater, dance, cabaret, film, and music, including the 30th annual Bard Music Festival, Corn Gold and His World. This year, the festival is presenting a modern multimedia-style opera, Aquanetta, written by Catskill resident and librettist Deborah Artman, who joins us this morning. Deborah, good morning.
Good morning, Jay.
Very nice to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me.
The opera's music is by Michael Gordon. The production runs from July 11th through the 21st. We also welcome Natalie Kirsch, who is the producer for the opera Eric Wolfgang Korngold's The Miracle of Haliana, a new production and a U.S. premiere. That runs July 26th. Through the 4th of August, and we welcome you to the program as well. Thank you very much.
Good morning.
A
happy
great
to be here.
Pleasure to have you on the program. So let us begin with you, Deborah, of how this particular project came to be and what people can expect from Aquanetta.
Well, Aquanetta is actually a real person who was a B-movie star in the 1940s. And in 2004, Michael Gordon, the composer, saw an obituary for her and became intrigued because he just felt something was not quite right in the obituary. So he called me up and he asked me to research her life and see what I could find out about her. And at the time, there was very little about her on the internet. And I ended up looking at interviews from movie fan magazines, mm-hmm. and it turns out she was this extraordinarily beautiful woman who went to New York City in the early 1940s and was so stunning, somebody stopped her on the street and said, "You are so beautiful, you need to be a model." So she became a pinup model. She told everybody her name was Bernou Aquanetta and that it meant burning fire in deep water, and that she was Native American. And at the time, she soon became a woman who was escorted to the Stork Club and, you know, mm-hmm. the clubs of the day. And Walter Winchell decided that being Native American wasn't very sexy, so he named her the Venezuelan Volcano. And she suddenly became Latina, and she spoke with a fake Spanish accent.
So her first, I'm sorry to interrupt, but that first, her definition of her name, was there any truth to that?
As far as I know, no.
Okay. So it was as truthful as the second of
right.
Winchell's
correct
explanation. Okay. So both were fake.
Yes.
Okay.
And then, again, she was seen in these pinup ads as a model, and somebody said, "You were so stunning, you should be in Hollywood." So she went to Hollywood and she put on a bathing suit and she swanned around a swimming pool of one of the big hotels, and the casting agents for a couple different movie companies battled on who would get her, and she ended up with a contract at Universal Pictures, and she ended up becoming Universal Pictures' first female monster in the movies. And a movie that she was known for is called Captive Wild Woman. And the premise of the movie is that this mad scientist doctor, through an experiment, transforms an ape into a woman. And Aquanetta played the result of his experiment, this very beautiful woman. And in the movie, that character has the misfortune of whenever she gets angry or jealous, she turns back into an ape. And so Michael and I decided to base our opera on the scene in that movie where the mad scientist doctor unveils his creation.
So it's more about that moment than it is about her life, or do you incorporate both?
Well, we incorporate both. There are hints about her life throughout the libretto, and it's deliberately a puzzle because the experience of finding out about her life was a mystery. It was like solving a mystery. Mm. And with each step of the way, you know, every interview she gave, she made up a different version of her past and claimed she was from, you know, different places, the descendants of different people. And
now, from my very brief research, that her real name was Mildred, is that correct?
Yes. What I discovered was her real name was Mildred Davenport.
And she and I, we both grew up in the same town in Pennsylvania, I believe, Norristown, Pennsylvania.
Really? Yep.
Yeah. And which is outside of Philadelphia. So that's fascinating. But it is very much opposite what we thought of her as she was going through her film career, of that exotic beauty, correct?
Well, the name, you mean?
Well, yes. But how she portrayed herself.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Even to the end of her life, she called herself Aquanetta, and she claimed that she was Native American. So
yeah,
it was an identity that she assumed early and maintained throughout her life.
She lived to be 83, I think, right?
82 or 83.
So was it a tragic life or
no?
There
were some difficulties, but she, you know, ended up moving to Arizona and marrying a man who was a car salesman and having sons and having a good life there and becoming very known in her community. She actually was a host for a late night horror movie show on TV. But what fascinated us was that she was having this good career in Hollywood and then kind of inexplicably walked out of it, just walked away from it. And we didn't know why. And so that was part of the puzzle that we tried to solve.
So one more, and then I promise we're going to get to the miracle of Eliana. I'm just doing this chronologically. So in the telling of this story, I said a modern multimedia style opera. So just talk a little bit about the staging of it.
Well, Daniel Fish is our director, and he just won. His production of Oklahoma
yeah,
just won the Tony Award for Best Revival of a Musical.
Which started at Bard and was stunning.
Yeah, so he's kind of coming home.
Yeah.
And he took this opera and just cracked it open into a whole different level. And it is a production that combines theater, opera, and film. It's not what you would consider your typical opera.
Right.
It's a completely different experience.
It is, it's Aquanetta, and it is going to run July 11th through the 21st as part of Bard Summerscape. Running the 26th of July through the 4th of August is The Miracle of Eliana. And this is part of the Korngold and His World Music Festival that'll be going on. Nunnally Kirsch is the producer for the opera. So tell us a little bit about this particular production, being a part of the music festival and also Summerscape.
Yes. Well, it's Korngold wrote Das Wunder der Eliana, or The Miracle of Eliana, in 1927. And then it fell out of favor for a variety of reasons, one being that he was a Jewish composer and the Nazis forbade his music. It fell out of the repertoire and has been recently enjoying success in Europe. People have taken interest in it again. So this is the first American professionally produced production. So it's very exciting to be bringing this to an American audience. And our director is Christian Ratz, who's a German director who's got a very interesting take on the piece. The design team, Esther Bialis, is doing the set and costumes. And I don't want to give away anything about the set, but has a very interesting idea for how the set is, you know, works with the production.
So tell us a little bit about the story.
Oh, the story. Well, it, I think, is best viewed
or
as metaphor.
Or as much as you want to. Okay, that's fine.
It's best viewed as metaphor. I mean, briefly, it is the three main protagonists are a brutal dictator, the ruler, who presides over a land where people are, you know, not encouraged to have any sort of independent or forbidden independent thought. Then this charismatic stranger arrives and is
a B movie star from the 40s.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. No, so the stranger arrives.
Stranger arrives. People fall in love with him. The ruler's envious, imprisons him, sentences him to death, as you do.
Right.
Heliana then, who is the wife of the ruler, visits the stranger in his cell and falls in love with him. He then ultimately commits suicide to avoid Heliana being punished for their love, which was not consummated or only in, mm-hmm. in thought, rather in deed. The ruler then ultimately, to test Heliana's purity and to know that she did not actually consummate things with the ruler, he challenges her to raise him from the dead. It's very complicated.
I asked the question. Let me ask this then, which is often when we're talking about theater pieces, we will talk about with various components of the production about how they discuss the story and what they all talk about going into it about the story. What are those conversations like this when you are living in metaphor?
Well, it's a real challenge, you know. How, I mean, there's so many layers to this one. Mm-hmm. I think it could be taken on any number of levels, and especially looking at the political situation that was, you know, the political environment in which Korngold wrote this. So, you know, there's those kind of considerations that are taken into account. On, you know, on some level, you could see this as like, you know, the redemption of love. But I think that's actually a somewhat superficial take on it. I think there's other more complex interpretations. It's been interesting to hear the conversations among the director and the designer and the, you know, the rest of the creative team who all work very collaboratively.
And there has to be some, I guess, general... what's the word I want to use? Consensus as to what's being said, what's being portrayed,
mm-hmm.
even though it can operate at different levels.
I think so. This is the interesting thing, though, about the producing process and the rehearsal process. You know, as, I think as we move through this process of staging the piece, you know, I think there's different interpretations that come to light over the course, over the evolution of the process. Certainly the director and his team come in with an idea and an approach, but I think it's, you know, as, especially a piece like this that does work on so many different levels, I think it, the rehearsal process is really this kind of fascinating period of discovery.
Yeah.
You know, and seeing how singers interpret their characters and what they think that their character represents,
mm-hmm.
That's been so interesting to see. I mean, it's...
And Deborah?
Well, connection to Aquanetta is it, too, works on many layers. There's a lot going on in a conceivably small space of time. And it, too, is a metaphor for larger ideas about stereotyping and identity and transformation and typecasting in the Hollywood system. And similarly, when we first started working with Daniel, it was fascinating for me to see, you know, what he chose from the libretto to guide him in his production. And it was vastly different from an earlier production we had had of the opera. So it, you know, the impact of the director and the singers, you know, in this production, Rebecca Hargrove is playing Aquanetta, and in our original production at Prototype last year in January, Michaela Bennett played Aquanetta. So I'm really curious to see, you know, how Rebecca interprets the role and every element. I mean, every night is different, but every element and every person changes the dynamic.
Well, it's such beautiful work that both of you are working on, and it's all part of the 16th Annual Bard Summerscape, which runs through August 18th. Again, Aquanetta runs the 11th through the 21st. The Miracle of Heliana, this new production and U.S. premiere, runs July 26th through August 4th. You can find out more information by going to fishercenter.bard.edu. Thank you so much both for coming in and telling us about them. Have a beautiful time with these productions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's a great pleasure.
Are you
coming
there?
Here.
Yeah, are you coming?
Excellent. I would love to. Both sound amazing.
Yes, you must come.
fishercenter.bard.edu. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.